Okay. Good evening, everybody. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll pick up at verse 5. I'll say 5. But we found out last week that Paul is giving the Corinthians an illustration, an example about what happened to the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. And he's using this example to encourage them. It's not only a reminder, an admonition. It's a reminder, but it's also a warning. Because the same thing that happened to the children of Israel could happen or is happening to the Corinthians. And that is, well, let's find out. Go ahead. You're going to say it, Annette?
Okay. I'm happy wrong.
We'll find out. Chapter 10, verse 1, he says this: "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of their spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So we know some things that he says. I don't want you to be ignorant about what happened there. They came out under the cloud, and we talked a little bit about that, about when he says under the cloud, do you remember what the cloud was, right? It was him. Him being, it was the Lord in the cloud. And it's funny, he says this. He said in verse 4, he said that rock that followed them was who?
Christ.
Who?
Christ.
Back there?
Yeah, back there. He also created the world.
He also created the world. That's right. Now, that's a good verse to show a Jehovah Witness. They say, well, you know what? Jesus Christ was just a created being. Well, he says, well, the scripture says that he was back here in the cloud. He's the one who brought the children of Israel out. Uh-oh. Wouldn't that be a problem? Because God said, I did it. And Paul is saying that that rock that followed them, and really that rock that led them, was Christ. It's hard to reconcile if you don't believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But he said this, I don't want you to be ignorant that they were all under the cloud and passed through the sea. They were all under the benefits. They all partook of the benefits that Christ offered them, which was, number one, the redemption, coming out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of, as scripture called it, the iron furnace. They came out of bondage. They were delivered. They were sustained through the wilderness. They were fed, even though they complained about the food. The Lord provided water. You do remember that, don't you? Everything, and if I would have thought about it, the verse that said where their shoes didn't, their clothes didn't wax old, their feet didn't swell. The cloud, by day, it shielded them from the heat. The cloud by night was a light and a guard to them. Fire by night kept the Egyptians away. It kept them, kept the distance there. What more could you ask for if you were coming out of bondage?
Salvation.
That's what they had. They had it all. That's why he said they were under the cloud and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And that's not, I think we talked to last week, Ed, it's not water. That wasn't water baptism. That was, they were identified with Moses, and Moses was the deliverer. Mm-hmm. He was the deliverer whom God sent. He was God's choice to deliver the children of Israel. So when they were presented with Moses, just like Pharaoh, Moses, God told Moses, he says, I have made you a God to Pharaoh. Well, who was he to the children of Israel?
Your deliverer.
He was their deliverer, right. But I guess, and I'm maybe stretching this a bit, but if he goes to Pharaoh and he's displaying, he's the representative of God, what are the children of Israel looking at? What are they looking at? They should see God in action. In Moses. The verse in John, it said, Jesus said this, that he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Well, who sent Jesus? God. So he says, if you receive me, you receive what? God. If you don't receive me, you don't receive God. That's what when Moses comes up, he says, who should I say sent me? And he said, tell them you're operating on your own. He said, tell them I am. And this, and the first thing they said is, the Lord has heard your cry. He's coming to deliver you. They said, who is the Lord? And he said, this, the God of your fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He heard your cry. He's come to deliver you. He sent me. And he brought them out. They got to the Red Sea. Here we are. Stuck.
Here they are.
The faith went from here on the way down. They said, this man brought us out here to kill us. And he said, stand still and see this.
It's kind of funny because it's almost like they're in between the rock and a hard place. Get it? Yeah.
They were in between a rock and a hard place, right?
The rock.
<Ba-dum-ba>. But this is a, you know, when I read, I like to put myself back there. Because it gives you a little idea, you know, you want to ask the questions that you think they might ask, or you want to feel the way you think they might feel, or try to see the things that they see, and it opens up more questions for you. And then when you get those questions answered, it gives you a little more insight about the scripture. So you think about they saw all these plagues. Right? In Egypt. They're coming out. Everybody's happy. They just ate the Passover. They're coming out. Everybody's probably happy, singing. And they get to the water. And they look back, and here they come. You saw the TV show. And then Moses, what do you think Moses is thinking? He's along for the ride, too. This is all new to him. He gets there and he says, what do we do? What do we do now? And he calls to the Lord, and the Lord says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he raises a stick. They come through on dry land. And the scripture said, baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And we know he provided for them all through the wilderness, through the Red Sea. Even when they, well, we'll keep going. I'm going to get hung up there. Verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Unbelief. They were overthrown where they were cut. They were cut down. He killed them. That is the only way to put it. Because you think about that's, you know what? It raised my eyebrows too when you're reading that. Just wait a minute. They go through the Passover celebration, right? Where basically they come out under the blood of the Passover.
Oh, but some didn't.
Everybody who came out of Egypt
had the blood.
They had the blood on the door.
But those who didn't, so those who didn't believe, so it wasn't
they didn't
belief.
They didn't make it.
So it wasn't
they didn't come out.
Okay. So they died.
Turn back to Exodus. Exodus 12. This is the, now, you have to, I ran into an issue with this in my mind, but when Paul's writing, he's given an example of something that hopefully we'll get a better understanding, even if we don't understand it completely. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Now, God's making sure that nobody will be left out.
Right.
It reminds me of a verse in Timothy where Paul said this. You know, there's a doctrine that that's out called Calvinism. And that is where God only picks some to be saved and the rest of them, they're chosen to be lost. But the Lord right here, he says, he makes sure everybody has opportunity to a lamb. Paul said in Timothy, he says, God is the Savior of all men. How many is all? Especially them that believe. So how many people in Egypt had the opportunity to come out? Are you sure? How do you know that? Because the verse said that every man could do what? Get a lamb. And if you don't, if it's too small, you can share it. And he said this, your lamb, verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roasted with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. That's all the, that's the complete lamb, was roast with fire. Don't put it in water. That's, don't side, that's marinated. Don't marinate it. That's a type, that's a showing you that Christ took the complete brunt of our sins. He took all the punishment. It was nothing when he was on the cross and they offered him the vinegar, like a painkiller. He didn't take it. He took the undiluted wrath of God in our place. He says in verse 10, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So not only did he execute judgment, he also redeemed the people. Now this, well, think of this picture, because it's Paul is bringing this out in Corinthians. He wants you to think about it. Is they came out of bondage. They were delivered from the oppressor. They were redeemed by blood. Right? And we found out last week when they took them out, they went out as a what?
An army.
As an army. They didn't know it. All they know is we're out of Egypt. We're out of bondage. We're free. They didn't know God's purpose for them.
Like when we first get saved.
Like when we first get saved. When you first got saved, did you know you were... Did you know God looks at you as a soldier too? Or army, the body of Christ?
No, I was just happy to be saved.
Just happy to be saved. So, matter of fact, let's keep going. Exodus, let's look at this. He says, verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance. How long?
Forever.
You know what? There's a look at chapter, flip over chapter 13. Verse 8. He says, and thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt, and it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. Now, not to get too sidetracked, what does that remind you of? Where there's another passage that this, the, where the son will ask the father, he said, let me find this one. Verse, let's see. I think this is in Deuteronomy. I think I might have wrote a note on that. Nope, I did not. Deuteronomy? You look so serious.
What are you looking for?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
It's it has to do with them coming out of Egypt, and the son will ask the father, "What does this mean?"
Yeah. Verses where he says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children."
Where is that?
That's in chapter 6.
No, this, I think this is in, this is in Deuteronomy.
Yeah, I'm in Deuteronomy.
Oh, okay. Chapter 6? No. Well, I'll quote it as best I can. Where I like the way the terminology, and he says, what meaneth this? What do you mean by this service? And then the father would say, this is what we do in remembrance of this night where the Lord brought us out of Egypt. That's why we do this. And I was asking the question, does that remind you of anything? The Lord's Supper. You know, is when he says you should keep this as a memorial. Every time they did it, it should remind them of what? Of the bondage they came out of, the bondage they were delivered out of, the great work the Lord performed on their behalf. It should remind them every time they take that Passover, it should remind them that they were redeemed with great power. Not only that, it should remind them of who they are. They now belong to the Lord, and the Lord has a purpose for them. Shouldn't it?
Yes.
So if you take it, if we take it, it's the same principle. If we take it, we should be reminded of what the Lord has accomplished on our behalf. Paul said, as often as you do it what? Remember what? Same thing. What you did, what he did. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 5, he said, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And I guess we took a lot of time off on that, but you find it hard to believe if God took so much care to bring them out. He put so much into showing them his great power and his signs and his wonders and securing their deliverance. And they get out, and he said, but with many of them, he was not well pleased, and they were overthrown. Do you remember the verses that they said, well, the Lord brought us out because there were not enough graves in Egypt. That's why he brought us out here to kill us in the wilderness.
Yeah, that's unbelief.
That's, and they wanted, you know, can the Lord provide a table in the wilderness? You know what a table is? It's the right. It's a, and it's not just a, not just a place to eat. It's the provision. Is when they came out. I hate to keep going back here. Go back to Exodus. Chapter. We're just going to kind of skip around in here. Chapter 15. They come out. They divided the... in 14:13, I quoted this, but it says, and Moses... I'm just reading this, 14:13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Verse 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. 24, and it came to pass that in the morning watch, what happened? The Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. They get out, they sing the song of Moses. Let's sing this. Let's look at this song. He says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he hath thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation with my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are drowned in the sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed, and thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. You think they were excited? You think they were happy? You think they praised the Lord? Nothing bad about that at all, is it? Okay. Verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it is called was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear, to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." How long did it take them to change their mind? 3 days. They saw all, just the song was still in their mind. 3 days, they get out there, no water. They begin to complain. They were spoiled like us. Okay, verse 16, verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the children and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth unto this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they what? Will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses said unto Aaron and to all the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for he that heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening, flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Now, I'm not going to read all that, but everything that he does, every provision that he makes for them, he's trying to remind them. What is he trying to remind them of? What do you think? Just by reading that. He's their provider. He's going to take care of them. And what does he want them in turn to do?
Follow his laws.
Obey him. Trust him. Yes, all that's included. So, back to Corinthians now. Paul's telling the Corinthians, remember them. Remember what happened back there. He said, they came out. You know how they came out. He said, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Why not? They complained. They murmured. They didn't what? They didn't follow him. They didn't trust him. They didn't what? They didn't love him. And what Paul is... What is Paul trying to get the Corinthians to do?
Trust him.
To trust him. Mm-hmm. Not just that. To trust him enough to do what?
To serve him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. He just finished an analogy that if you're running in the race, run to what?
Yeah.
Where were the children of Israel coming out? Where were they going?
To the land of Canaan.
God called it what? He called that land of Canaan. He said, this is their what? This is his sanctuary. And he used another word too, that he said, it's his what? It's his inheritance. And they all had a place in there. As a matter of fact, the land that he wanted to give them was already sectioned off the way he wanted it. Do you remember that, Ed? Remember, Ed, you did a lesson, it was some time ago, where when the Lord told them about the lot that they had, and Moses wanted to go over there, and he said, you can't go, but you can look at it. And he took them up to the mountain, and he says, look over there and see it. Yeah. And they saw, and he can see, you know what, this guy's going here, this guy's going there, and he's over here. But they came out on their way in armies under the cloud, under the sea, being partakers of this great salvation and provision that the Lord was making them. And every step of the way, they did what?
Complained.
And murmured. And that's why the Lord said, but with many of them, he was not. Who do you know that he used that term? Who do you know that he used that term? Well pleased.
The Lord.
He said, behold, this is my son. Well, when he brought out Israel, he told Pharaoh, he told Moses to tell Pharaoh that this is my what? Israel is my even my firstborn. What does the firstborn get? He gets the inheritance. He said, tell Pharaoh, this is my son, even my firstborn. Let him go that he may come and what? See, that looks a little harsh, doesn't it? Serve. I like this. How about that? Well, he did say serve him. To worship him. What do you do in a sanctuary? If you're serving, you're doing some kind of worship, aren't you? That's what the priests did when they went into the tabernacle. Serving. He said, let my son go that he would serve me. And every step of the way, they should be learning, I can't wait to get there. If he could do this here, wait till we get there. Couldn't they? And they go there. He says, many, they were not pleased. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6, now these things were written for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. How many is that? 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. We're talking about the same people, aren't we?
Yeah.
That the Lord purchased?
Yeah.
That the Lord redeemed? Don't you find that strange? That the Lord brings them out of bondage, redeems them, only to overthrow them in the wilderness? Because they complained and murmured, because they didn't serve him? They didn't trust him? That doesn't sound too gracious, does it? What do you do with that? And you know what? They certainly didn't what?
Appreciate
their redemption. And here's the harsh thing is this. What we consider harsh is we think of this. We always think of, I do. I won't say we all do, but I would think that we probably think the same. We think that when he killed those people, they went to hell. That's what we think. We're probably thinking, that's so harsh. But if he brought them out under the Passover, he had already did what? He had already justified them, didn't he?
Yeah.
He couldn't condemn them again, or as far as what happened to the Egyptians when he overthrew. He said the same thing about them. He overthrew them too, right? Mm-hmm. What happened to them?
That's
right. The only thing about this multitude is this. That they never made it to the inheritance. That's why he said in Hebrews, he said, I said to them in my anger that they will not enter into my rest.
But so they were saved.
That's the word. That's the word we use. We think this, that they're saved like we're saved.
When they didn't receive their reward.
Kinda. That's right.
But they are going to serve in the kingdom still, aren't they? Am I getting things
mixed? That's a good question, because that's the same question I asked. But they won't serve.
They won't serve. Okay.
They didn't enjoy it then. So when the resurrection, and not to get way off into this because I don't know. If they're justified, they get up. Now, they can say, well, you didn't get it that time. But out here, you know they'll be in there somewhere. I like that. I'll leave it like they'll be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
It's better to be in there somewhere than out here nowhere. But that's the issue that we want. They never got in here. They never got the inheritance. You know what, Paul said something real interesting in Colossians. Hold your hand there. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 18. You know, I was thinking about this on the coming over here is this. When we come to class, and I'm not the I don't know. When we come here, what I like to do is what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. It's more like a classroom to me. It's not so much as a lesson that I have planned out. I know what I want to tell you. But sometimes it doesn't come out that way. And if you sit there, I don't want you to just sit there. If you have a question, if you see that, you say, wait a minute, I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense. That's where we stop. Because you'll go all the way home and say, why did he say that?
And then they'll text you, and you won't
remember. And then I'll go all the way home and say it. I say to myself,
why didn't
I say this? Or
I should have said.
Okay.
The inheritance that is the kingdom.
For them, the inheritance was what? Canaan.
Okay.
The promised land. Mm-hmm. Where he told them, as a matter of fact, when he got there and he gave them 40 days.
So it was all conditional because it was
if you do this. And he brought them up to that land, to the inheritance. He said, pick out 12 men. You pick them out. Send them over there. You have them check it out. They went over there 40 days to prove that God was true. that the inheritance was really a nice reward.
So
So the ones that were overthrown, they were killed, but they'll still rise in the kingdom with Christ. Is that what you were saying?
There's, you know, if they're justified, there's going to be another resurrection. And they'll all go into this new Jerusalem.
Okay.
Now, what they'll be doing in there, where they are.
I got something to ask.
Okay.
I agree that I don't know. But the interesting thing also is that Moses didn't receive the reward.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And that's the... And I thought there was a, you know, there was kind of a dual thing with Moses, because number one, Moses is a type of the law.
Yeah.
And you cannot get this inheritance by works. But he let him see it. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing is, even though the Moses was a type of the law, he couldn't go in. Joshua took them in.
Right.
But these people were not a type of the law. They had a chance to go in. They didn't go in because they didn't believe. Matter of fact, the scripture said this, that they had a different spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit because they believed God. And they said, if God promised us this,
we don't need the code.
We can take it. He said, forget about those people over there. I think he said that he said they will be. I think he used a term like they'll be bread for us or something like that. In other words, he said we can knock them off no problem.
Mm-hmm.
If God said that. But they went out and they came back with a bad report. Matter of fact.
Colossians.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Colossians.
Yeah, I was getting ready to change to another verse. See that? That's bad. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. We just started there. This is for the body of Christ today. Who is he talking to?
Wives and husbands.
Oh, well, other than that, they're
the
body of Christ. They're what? They're saved. They're believers. Okay, right. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of getting with the obvious. Wives, is he saying this for them to be saved?
No.
Okay. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive
the reward of the inheritance.
For ye serve the Lord Christ. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
He said, you're not doing this to get saved. You're not doing this to stay saved.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you're rendering a service to the Lord by letting him use you. Does that mean? And his, you know what? That's the thing. Now you talk about, he brought them out on nothing. They had nothing to add to it.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling. He said again.
They were slaves.
They were. He says, "You were once the servants of sin. Now I want you to be a servant of righteousness." He says, "I'm taking you from Pharaoh for me. I'm taking you from an ogre to the great God. I'm taking you from the iron furnace to the sanctuary." From a bond slave, right, to a son. Not yet, right. An heir. And don't you want to go? And they went out, and he's in the minute it looked a little cloudy. They said, well, can the Lord, can he, when I talk about the table, can he provide a table in the wilderness? He said, can he really take care of us? He was already taking care of them. And that's where faith, that's why when the Lord goes into the wilderness, you know what? He took his other son out of the wilderness too, didn't he? Jesus, he takes him out of the wilderness, or takes him into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he's presented with some temptations. And he says, aren't you hungry? Didn't he say this? He said, aren't you hungry? Mm-hmm. He said, well, if you're the son of God, get your own food. You don't have to wait. Don't wait on your father. And Jesus would answer with the scripture, didn't he? Thou shalt not live by bread alone. Yeah. Now, he's not like this son. he's obedient. And he says, you know what, if you jump off right now, he won't let you hit the ground. Were they protected?
Yeah.
And he says, no, don't tempt the Lord. He said, I'll wait on him. And he said, now, if you do what? If you bow down and worship me, they were gonna get that anyway, weren't they? He said, if you bow down and worship me, he says, I'll give you all these. Thou shalt worship the Lord only. He passed the test, didn't he? Not so much. But when you think about when Paul writes writes to them, back to 1 Corinthians. Wow. He's given them all this background about Israel. It was because they came out, but they failed to have a servant heart. They failed to have a trusting heart. What we'll say, traveling faith. You know, they had escaping faith.
They were out of Egypt.
They were out of Egypt. I'm saved.
Kind of like us.
Yeah.
The Corinthians, they were saved by grace. But when the Lord had equipped them, he's equipping them to serve him. To run, as Paul said. He was equipping them to run. He wanted them to run. So we'll get saved now. And, Karen's not here, but most people think you get saved and that's the end of it. And the Lord say, that's just the beginning. Like one of the girls said, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? It's time to serve.
It's time to receive blessings.
Yes. So we think the blessings is God is just sucking all the joy out of our life. And he's like, this is what I'm going to give you, the joy. This is where the joy is serving me.
But if you don't know the right doctrine.
And that's why everything that Paul writes is to indoctrinate us to service and the joy of it.
To prepare us to serve.
To prepare. And it's to get your mind off of you and on to him. Because if we look at, you know what, when I'm hungry, that's when the baby's hungry, what does he do? He doesn't care. He murmurs. He doesn't care what you're doing. It could be something really important.
Yeah.
But you'll cry until he gets your attention. Everything else doesn't matter. It's what I want right now. I was sitting at home the other day, and we're done. Well, we'll pick up next week with chapter 10, verse 5. We'll pick up at 5 and then go forward. But I was sitting at home the, Was it Saturday? Yeah, it might have been Saturday. I'm sitting at home and I hear this. It was like really loud. Like I thought it was a bird, but it was much louder than that. And I looked out the window. I looked in the tree. I didn't see anything. And it was getting louder and louder. And I was like, what is that sound? And then I kind of leaned toward the window, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw something moving on the ground. When I looked down, it was 3 baby raccoons.
Aww.
And they were crying, crying louder. They were walking, but, and I said, well, how did they get there? And then I kind of looked over, and I saw the mother was, what she was doing was coming and grabbing one and try to take him in safety and then come back and get the other one. And when she left, they were crying so loud. And then she would drop that one off. And as quick as she can drop that one off and start coming back, it would follow halfway back. So that went on for, I started to video that. And of course, you know, I think spiritually is, here you have a good example of what it should have been, where a believer should be totally dependent on God to get to where they have to go. And if he goes, you go. Mm-hmm. Like when they were, that one, I guess you call it a cub, I don't know what you'd call it, but when she turned around and started walking away, they would follow right behind them. And wouldn't that be something if, well, that's what the Lord wanted. That's what the Lord wanted. That's what the Lord wants. And I'm sure that they were fed, that she would try to feed them, provide for them to wherever they were going. You know, it took a while, and after a while they were back in the woods somewhere, and I hope they made it safely. You know what I started to do? I started to go out and get a cardboard box and help. Scoop them up and then take them over to the bushes and dump them out. But I said, no, that's not my job. I'm going to leave that alone and let them work that out.
Because then she would think that you're trying to hurt her baby.
Right. I don't feel like being bit by a raccoon, right? So, but we'll pick up next week and try to make some progress on that. And